Welcome to the Music of America podcast, where every week we visit a different state in America and meet a different guest in the music industry. Every day, Monday through Friday, we begin in Alabama and we end in Wyoming. I'm your host, Tom Pollard. Let's talk music here on the Music of America. Good Monday morning on the Music of America podcast. We're in a new state and a new week. We're in Massachusetts, and we'll be in Amesbury and sort of Salisbury. We'll talk about that in a moment with our guest, Nick Brescio, and the Dune Dogs. We'll talk with them after I talk about the jingle that hits like a single. That's the slogan for Jingle Lingo, an advertising vehicle designed to create a unique and personal jingle to promote and position your business and make it stand up above the crowd. Think of all the musical jingles you've heard through the years, right? Who wrote that? Who came up with that jingle? Jingle Lingo can and will put your business into higher vision and focus on all of your advertising needs. Jingle Lingo, custom made, custom designed with you and for you through the talents of accomplished singer and songwriter Courtney Davis Jackson. Check them out today and get to work on your personalized musical jingle from Jingle Lingo, www.jinglelingo.com. The jingle that hits like a single. And if you ever get tired of playing music, Nick, you can always get a gig doing musical jingles, right?
I was just about to say, my dad used to tell me all the time, you know that show Two and a Half Men?
He
used to watch that, and he would tell me, he'd be like, oh, why don't you be more like Charlie? You could go write, you know, jingles and go live out in California, and you wouldn't even have to be a part of the industry.
And thanks for the inspiration, Dad.
Yeah.
Were you trying to tell me something here? So Nick Brescio. I'm going to mispronounce it throughout the show, so let me get it right.
Brescio. Yeah.
Yeah. There we go.
Yeah, you got it.
My Zoom is acting like we're not going to do this. And you're the guitar player for the Dune Dogs. Originally, we set this up with somebody else.
Yeah, so I'm the lead guitarist. The bassist his name's Bo.
Oh, okay.
And he's my songwriting partner. We do the majority of the songwriting. And I guess he said yes to it, but he's in Madrid right now, abroad for the semester. So his time zone is all screwed up, and you can never get a hold of him. He's got like three numbers now.
Fun. Well, yeah. we interviewed a lady from Michigan, and the interview was done from Hamburg. She was in Hamburg, Germany.
Oh, in Germany. Actually, yeah. I just listened to the first part of that, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Last week's? Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. So, that's another story for another day. But, yeah, I don't care. Yeah, and that's what's cool about it, the music industry now, too, with technology as it is. I got a couple of guys I talk about a lot that are in Chicago, except they're really not. He's in Chicago, but his percussionist is in Tokyo.
Yeah, you could just send files back and
they
forth.
Send files. That's what they do, man. It's so cool.
Yeah.
Keep shouting.
We try and do a little bit of that, but it's sort of tough. I prefer to be with the band, you know, just in a room for 3 days straight.
Yeah. Have you guys done studio work on it and actually recorded in a studio yet?
Yeah, so we there's a spot, Vocal Ink Studio. It's in Charlotte, North Carolina, and so most of the guys go to school down here at South Carolina and Columbia.
Uh-huh.
So this summer we were touring down the East Coast, sort of like a self-funded tour, and we hit the whole coast, and we came into Charlotte thinking we were actually planning on recording it ourselves in our drummer's basement, who lives there. And so we had a bunch of equipment, but it was old. It's all from, you know, early 90s. It was gifted to us by some of our neighbors.
So
we started messing with it, and we really just couldn't get it sound right. It was not sort of up to the standard we wanted. And so we called this guy, and last second he was able to get us in for an 8-hour session. It was 6 p.m. to 2 a.m. And we banged out like 10 live tracks,
no vocals,
just everything else. And then we overdubbed the vocals ourselves, actually, for this record we put out. We put up a blanket fort, you know, in the basement,
right.
And did
fun.
Sent that to a mixer that we know from New Hampshire.
Okay. So, how did you get in with the Dune Dogs? How did that thing happen? Are you one of the founders, or did you just?
Yes. Yeah. Me and, you know, we kind of argue about who founded it, because we all met in high school, on the bus ride to school, basically.
Where was this? This is in
Massachusetts. It's in Danvers, Massachusetts. We went to school, and it was a private school, so all of our friends were all from scattered around the coastline. Like the singer Nick Bernarducci lives in New Hampshire. Me and Bo live in Massachusetts, and our former drummer also lived in Southern Massachusetts. So we would all like travel to the same place, and it was the same bus route. And, you know, I had been playing music for a while. And I always sort of knew I wanted to come and play with other people. I've been doing it.
Yeah.
I started when I was 9.
Did you start on the guitar?
Yeah, I started on the guitar, but I started playing like folk songs. My guitar teacher was sort of this hillbilly guy that like he didn't have a phone. He refused to have a cell phone.
Oh, wow.
Or like a laptop. He would just sort of sit in his house. He came over once. A great guy. He came over once and chopped down a tree for us out of nowhere. but he was like a heavy folk guy. He listened to a lot of like James Taylor, Lindsey Buckingham, and he would basically teach me a lot of that when I was first starting out. And then once I sort of got the hang of the guitar, I weaned off it. I stopped taking lessons and switched to the electric guitar. And then when I got to high school, I wanted to start a band. So when I met the guys on the bus, Nick Bernarducci, he's the singer. He sort of had done some singing and guitar playing in the past, but his main thing was, he was the only guy I knew on the bus that could talk to girls. And so when we first met, I didn't even care about how he sounded. You know, he had this whiny voice. We were 15 at the time. Yeah. And
I told him, talk to girls, as long as you can talk to girls.
And it worked out. I think his strength lies in his frontman abilities. Like he's a good dancer and he gets the crowd going. So that's how that started. And then Bo played cello and piano. He was classical. And I figured, I guess if you swap the cello sideways, it could become a bass. So I bought him a bass guitar and told him he should be playing bass. And I knew a kid on the bus as well from, his name's Ben Buckley. He was our old drummer. And he had been playing the drums since kindergarten. I knew him. So he was pretty eager to join as well. And then we just started playing.
So it started as a three-piece.
Started as a three-piece for a few weeks, basically. Mm-hmm. I mean, until we got the drummer in, yeah.
And what songs would you practice when you got together?
Oh, we were doing the classic high school cover band songs. We were playing Johnny B. Goode. We were playing Let It Be by the Beatles.
Right. But you weren't doing Teen Spirit. You weren't doing Soundgarden.
No, nothing too crazy.
Radiohead, yeah.
No, I mean, we would do a couple Chili Pepper songs, but yeah, it was pretty mellow, especially in high school. And yeah, we sort of just kept progressing. We were a cover band for a really long time, like up until, I mean, we were putting out music, but playing live shows was mostly covers.
Cover thing.
About a year ago, yeah.
Who was the first to bring up an original song to the band? Was it you or Bo or?
Weirdly enough, it was our singer, Nick Bernarducci.
Oh, no kidding. Oh.
Yeah. One of our first songs, it was called The Night We Met. It's not up anymore. We had put it up originally. It was like self-recorded, back in high school. And yeah, it was a good song. I mean, it was like a pop punk sort of, it sounded like Blink-182 a little bit.
Okay.
And we sort of liked it. So we went with it. And then after that, me and Bo started writing together and we put together a bunch of other songs because then we know we could do it. Once we had the first one, it was like, oh, wow, we can actually do this and we have something to say. Maybe, I don't know.
Yeah. It's fun though. It's like you discover this part of yourself.
Right.
You're like, let's run with this. Yeah.
And the other thing is it got me so much more invested in the music too. Like,
yeah.
I mean, when I first started out for the first 5 years I was playing, I hated practicing. It was a burden in my life, you know? And I loved music, but I hated the struggle of trying to get better at it. And with the band, it's so much better because you have you know, for me, I have three other dudes that, you know, are all in the same boat. Basically, we all learned our instruments fairly together at the beginning, and it pushed me to really focus on the guitar. So I spent every day just playing and working at it and trying to see if I can write anything new. Or it feels good, and I haven't lost the drive. So
Do you start with like noodling around just with a chord, just playing a chord a different way, or fingering
it? Yeah, I tend to, when I'm writing on my own, I just sort of noodle around and and play different stuff. Or I'll go into a different tuning. Okay. And just mess around and see what I can hear. But most of it, honestly, instrumentally, is between me and Bo, just sort of jamming together in the barn.
I love the alternate tuning. At one time, I had four guitars in my living room, all tuned differently. You know, one broke, one is being repaired. One I gave to my sister to learn how to play guitar, and one is still sitting there. So now I've just got a standard guitar in there. But I have one in E tuning, you know, I would play some stuff on that. I had one and it was drop D. One was, the whole thing was dropped down a whole half step, just to get a different feel for it. And it's really amazing.
Yeah, I play my guitar actually tuned down two whole steps.
Oh, really?
Most of the time, which it's not even for a good reason. Like, it was because, it's funny, we were covering Home Sweet Home by Motley Crue in high school, and it was tuned down a whole step, and we tried it in standard, but he couldn't hit the notes, so we tuned it back down. And
then tuned it down again.
And for the gig that we were playing, we wanted to do that song, like, in the middle. Uh-huh. So I wanted to do the whole... We tried to work it out, so I did the first half with it tuned a whole step down, and I sort of just kept it like that, because, and as his voice began to change as we got older, it started to drop, and a lot of the songs we had written in high school and that we're playing live, he couldn't hit any of the notes, so it actually helped to be able to tune it down.
I was a front man. I was in a cover band with kids your age, and then I was me and my bass player was my age. You know, so we were the older guys. They were the younger guys. They were modern. We were vintage. So we were modern vintage, and it was fun. But they came to. We had this one gal that followed us all over the place, and she always wanted us to do some Bon Jovi, and you know, listen to this voice, and she wants me to sing John Bon Jovi. You know. So we learned Dead or Alive, and I said, I'll do it as long as it's one of the first three songs in the set. If she's not here in the first three songs of the set, we're not doing it. Because I can't do it after that, you know. I wish I'd have thought about it. So why don't we just tune everything down? You know, start the show off with that. And
sometimes it brings other problems, though, because then, I guess you can always play higher up. That was my thought.
That's an idea, too. So, all right. So you guys decide you want to have a band. You got your band and you're doing high school stuff, I guess, when you first started out, then you're doing
our first like gig was the drummer's dad owned this Irish pub downtown in Newburyport, Massachusetts. And he basically, there's like this upper room that people rent out for private events, and he gave it to us for the night. And so we invited all our friends, all our family, and did like 8 cover songs for everyone. And I have a video of it. It's us. We're all dressed up in ties. We look like if the Beatles were 14, 15 years old. And we all have the bowl cut haircuts. Is
so funny.
But it was fun. And people liked it. We had a good time that night, and you know, we went out and got pizza with everyone after. So that was like the first time we played for anyone really as a group. I had been playing for a while. And then we got into a school dance a few months later, which sort of got us on the map, like at school. People started actually talking about the band and being, oh, those guys. Yeah, they played at the dance. That was awesome. which helped, because at first, you know, when you're in high school and you say you have a band, there's a lot of exactly. But they liked it, so we kept doing it. Uh-huh. Kept getting better, and we started playing at, you know, local bars and pubs, basically anywhere we could play. We played at marinas, we played you know, like in the street by the river. There's like, yeah, a little area there where people, the boardwalk. Uh-huh. And we would just set up there and play for tips. And that sort of just went on until like senior year of high school, where we like began to actually book music venues in the area.
And then, now how long have you been doing this? Cause I thought you said you were 40.
No, I'm not 40.
Yeah. That's what I thought you said. We're talking about coffee.
Did someone say I was 40?
No, you said when I said I had to get my cup of coffee, and you said, you know, you understand because you're 40 or something. I think you said.
Oh no, I said I'm 20, but I 20, drink.
Okay, that makes more sense.
I drink four cups of coffee every day.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah.
I was like, dude, whatever you do, you're like J-Lo, whatever your skincare
product. I was 40. Oh my gosh.
Whatever your skincare product is. Yeah.
It's November right now. My rugby team is trying to raise money for the November thing.
So now you're 20. So then after you graduated, did everybody stay together, or did some people go away to school?
Yeah. So that was a whole nother problem. When we graduated, I didn't know where I was going to school in May of my graduation year. Uh-huh. I was sort of torn between here and Clemson, and I ended up choosing here.
And where is here?
The Singer. And the Singer went.
Where is here? Where is here?
University of South Carolina.
Oh, no kidding. So yeah, you're not in Massachusetts then.
No, right now I'm in Columbia, yeah. Okay. This is my humble abode.
I gotta hook you up with a band called Dazer.
Dazer.
D-A-Z-R, yeah. They're out of, I think they're out of Charleston.
Oh, yeah. But
check them out and tell them that that you did the Music of America podcast with Tom. I love those guys. I absolutely love them. Yeah, they're really cool.
Yeah, so we've been to Charleston a few times. One of the stops on the tour we did this summer was Charleston.
No kidding.
For 4 or 5 days. That was awesome. I mean, I love that city. That's, if I could move there.
Yeah.
And keep doing music there instead of Massachusetts, honestly, it's not a bad bet. Yeah.
There's a real cool Irish pub that we went to for New Year's a couple of years ago. We've got friends, obviously. The lady that runs the Historical Society is a good friend of ours. And we spent New Year's Eve there, and it's just so much fun, this Irish pub, because they're doing all these Irish songs, and people that go there regularly, so they know all the songs, and they're
I know all the songs.
Yeah, you know what I'm talking about.
My dad's a proper Irishman.
Okay, it was just so much fun. How is he Irish? And your last name is Brescia.
Well, so I'm mixed. I'm half and half.
Okay.
He's got the Irish in him, and he's also a rugby player. He got me into rugby.
So oh, really?
He taught me like all the pub rugby songs. I grew up singing those in the bar stools at the Irish pubs in town.
Fun.
Anyways,
right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. tell me, look. Because this is turning into a big fat mess, it's a good a good segue into the first song we're going to talk about, called "Big Fat Mess." So, is this yours? Is this one you wrote?
Me and Bo wrote this together. Okay. I think he had most of the lyrics. I came in with the instrumentation.
Did it start with the lyrics that he comes in and says, "Hey, man, what do you think of this?" And then you
said, "No, we started this with." It was actually two separate songs, they weren't going great, and we figured out a way to sort of put them together, and then he had lyrics he had written separately for just on his own. He didn't have any melody to it or anything, and so he was like, "Does this work?" And I thought it worked. I mean, the song he wrote about was basically about a fight in the parking lot at school.
Oh, really?
That we saw in high school. So it opens up with it's like, "Need some more. If you've had enough outside, there's a fight at the parking lot." And I thought like the guitar riff I had when we came into it, the song was just this like fat, like dark sort of tone. So I thought it fit great. It sounds like someone's getting beat up in the
Cool. We'll give it a listen. The song is called Big Fat Mess. Our guest today, Nick Brescio and the band Dune Dogs from Amesbury, Massachusetts, here on the Music of America podcast. The Dune Dogs, and our guest today, Nick Brescio, the song Big Fat Mess, here on the Music of America podcast, and more with Nick and more with the Dune Dogs in a moment. If you're looking for a world-class team to help you build your music career, the one you've always wanted, check out BigRecords.world. Now, Big Records World is the world leader in indie music. They just won the ISSA Independent International Promoter of the Year Award. They're the most forward-thinking record label in the music industry today. Operating for 5-6 years now, they have a full team of professionals and services and connections that you need in the music industry. The best part, though, is they do everything non-exclusive, so you don't have to worry about losing control of your brand or your music. They just work for you. They don't control you. Big Records World is a vast team specializing in everything from sponsorships to touring to nonprofits, distribution, marketing, radio, sync licensing, television, college campus tours, podcasts, you name it. Your team works with indie artists all the way up to some of the biggest names in the entertainment industry. Whatever it is you're looking for, the Big Records World music community will be a welcome addition to your family. Email Mark today. It's mark@bigrecords.world, not bigrecordsworld.com. You do that, you'll get nothing. mark@bigrecords.world. Let them amplify your music and your brand. And actually, the band I mentioned to you earlier, Nick, Dazer, I connected with Big Records World because I just think, like you guys, they have it. And a company like this can or will or is or isn't. I don't know. I don't work with them. I just talk about them. You guys, are you all self-contained, self-promoted, self-managed, all that?
Yeah, pretty much. Our singer's dad is a lawyer, so he actually helped us put together an LLC when we were coming out of high school. And we put it all under that. It's like our Cratic Records
Okay.
LLC. So, yeah, but it's all self-promoted. Yeah,
which and is cool though, because when you guys get paid, they can pay the corporation, right?
Right.
And then you guys just get paid from the corporation.
Yeah, basically, we have like it's a separate bank account and everything.
Right.
Yeah.
But if you need a set of strings or new pickups or new skins for your drum or whatever, you know.
Yeah. Just throw it on the band card, yeah.
That's right. It's all good then.
That was the thing on the tour. We'd always every time we stopped for food, whatever it was, we would say, okay, do we put it on the band card or do we want to split it up this time? Because
band's got no money, but I still got money in my pocket, yeah. So I guess I'm buying Dairy Queen for dessert.
Pretty much.
Funny. So the next song is really funny because you didn't know what this was about at first. The song is called Chappaquiddick Incident. You did not know the story of Chappaquiddick. And it dawned on me that I'm old, that I lived through the Chappaquiddick Incident, but somebody in their 20s may not know. So tell us about Chappaquiddick Incident and what the Chappaquiddick Incident is and why that was so compelling for somebody to write a song about it.
I mean, Bo wrote the song originally, but, you know, we're all from the Massachusetts area. We vacation out to where we grew up, vacationing out to the Cape and Nantucket, mm-hmm. and Martha's Vineyard. So we're familiar with the area. He told me, he came with the song and I didn't actually know what it was about. He called it the Chappaquiddick Incident. I thought he came up with that himself. And what a weird little song. Like, what? It's good. It sounds cool, but what, I mean, what's it about? And he was like, dude, do you not know what the Chappaquiddick Incident is? I'm supposed to. So he explained it to me. And then I talked to my dad and he's like, yeah, well, how do you not know what happened down the road? So Ted Kennedy drove off the Chappaquiddick Bridge
with Mary Jo Kopechne in the car.
And she ended up dying. What he caught his sort of wind from the story was that, like, the next that he waited until like 10, I think they waited until like 10 a.m. the next day to report it.
Right.
And then he only got, he got his license suspended for like a year and a half and then got maybe 3 months in jail or something like that.
Yeah. And had to spend like 6 weeks next door, living next door to an insurance salesman. I think.
Right. Yeah. And so he was just like, dude, how did he get off that? You know, so he wrote the song about it, and the chorus is the storm is coming in, which is, I mean, it wasn't necessarily a stormy day that day. I think it was actually clear skies, but I think he liked those lines because, like, just for the feel, like,
yeah.
In Massachusetts, you have the big nor'easters come in and just blow everything out. Mm. We love storms because we're surfers. We're all surfers.
Oh, no kidding.
Every time a hurricane hits, it's like Christmas, and we run outside and grab our boards and go out and have a good time. But I guess if you drive your car off a bridge, the storm's not a good sign. So
no, that's a bad
story. Added a little bit of drama to the story, yeah.
That's interesting, though. So Hugh had to have been in his teens when he wrote this, right? Late teens, mid-teens?
Bo? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so this was, he wrote this last January or February.
Okay.
Yeah, he was just 19, 20.
Yeah, still so young enough to not have any real experience of this, but of the area to have a working knowledge of what it was about.
Right.
And was inspired to write about something fairly historic. You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And now it's going to be.
I mean, I, as soon as I went and read the Wikipedia page about the incident, it like followed the song perfectly. I was like, oh.
And then you feel like, don't.
Yeah. I'm not. But he was very careful to not like mention Ted Kennedy because it was supposed to sort of be a little more vague. And we weren't. We were not going to call it Chappaquiddick Incident originally. We wanted to just sort of be about that. But nobody really know. And, you know, if anyone asked, then tell them the story. But then we figured it might be kind of cool if people could see.
People are going to flock to it by the title alone. People my age are going to flock to it just to see what it's about.
Yeah.
You know, it's smart. Chappaquiddick Incident, the next song we're going to listen to, the Dune Dogs, here on the Music of America podcast. Chappaquiddick Incident with the Dune Dogs. And our guest today, Nick Brescio, here on the Music America podcast. I'm your host, Tom Pollard, and a couple more songs coming your way. In fact, the next one, it's kind of funny because when I transcribed my notes from what was emailed to me, I wrote down The Girl Next Doorway. And I pictured this apartment building, and this guy's in love with the girl that lives in the next doorway. Because like in a dorm room, you know, co-ed dorm, it's literally the girl in the next doorway. At the next door, but it's actually a WAV file, WAV. So I wrote it down. I read it as "Girl Next Doorway," but it was a WAV file. So "Girl Next Door." WAV. It's kind of
still would have been a cool song. Maybe I'll do that next.
Inspiration.
Yeah.
Are you in a dorm now?
No, I live in a house with a couple other guys on my rugby team. Yeah.
Okay.
They actually don't live. They don't do housing here after your freshman year. So.
Oh no, kidding.
Huh. You live. Yeah. I mean, I'm still within a mile, but.
Yeah.
I had to get a moped. Ride around on that thing. Yeah.
Well, you're a rugby guy. What do you need a moped for? Why don't you just run?
Well. True. You got four classes a day.
Yeah. I get it. So tell me about the girl next door. Is this about somebody in particular?
Weird. So no, actually it's me. You would think it was, but me and Bo wrote this about, sort of it's the girl is actually not even what we were writing about wasn't a girl. It was, the feeling of coming back from college to your hometown, and you're back with your mom and your family, and you sort of have nothing really going for you, and you get, you know, you're at Thanksgiving dinner and everyone's like, hey, what are you up to? And you can't really say much. It was centered around the fact that like we come back from school and we're doing so much with the music, but you know, as far as everything else goes, our focus is on the music. So we spend all our time doing that. And, when you come home and that feeling, it's about like settling for the girl next door.
Okay.
So it's actually a sad song.
Maybe not, because maybe the girl next door has been there all along. Maybe she's been wanting to connect with you, and finally you're like, I can't do this, I can't do that, I'll settle for the girl next door. She's actually very happy, and she ends up making you happy for the next 45 years of your life.
At the time the song was written, my girlfriend at the time, we had been friends for a while before that. So she heard the song and she thought it was about her.
I was going to ask that, if anybody got in trouble to find out when somebody found out that the song was not about them.
Yeah. That's actually happened twice.
Oh, really?
Yeah. One of our other songs, Bo finds a way to write songs about girls and never actually have the experience with the girls. he writes about, I guess, what he sees me or Byrne doing. But I mean, basically, one of our other girlfriends back in high school, like, thought one of our songs was about her. And she was posting about it too. She was telling everyone in the school, like, oh, they wrote a song about me. And we had to be like, it's not about you. I'm sorry.
That's funny. Jack Nicholson's character in that movie, As Good As It Gets. That's one of the questions. I said, how do you write women so well? Because that's, you know, that's his big thing, is that he writes about women so well, but he's horrible with women, you know?
Right.
But it's funny. Do you know his response? He goes, easy. I think of a man. Yeah, take away reason and logic, or logic and responsibility, or something like that. They're like, what a great day. A great movie and a great song. The Girl Next Door, Dune Dogs, our next song here on the Music of America podcast.
Go back and live with mom. Realize nothing changes when I'm gone. I could lay low for a month or so and realize the girl I'm looking for lives next door. It's no surprise that I missed it. I'm fishing for big fishes. I could lay low for a month or so. Girl I'm looking for lives next door. Lives next door. Help out with chores and do my thing. Single bed with C-3PO sheets, Mars bad on brown, but deep down knows I've fallen short of all of her best hopes. Enough about me, what's up with you? You look different than how you did back in high school. Come back around to pick me up. So if you're feeling just as stuck,
Girl Next Door with the Doondogs, Nick Brescio, our guest here on the Music of America podcast. Trevor and Eileen build of Ordinary to Extraordinary Life, O-T-E-L, Ordinary to Extraordinary Life, have created, produced, and managed the largest all-original indie music Roku channel, Otel Music Videos, O-T-E-L. They love to give back to help others get seen and heard. That's kind of their life legacy. They welcome new submissions from a variety of genres to be a part of their music video. Click on the Roku tab. What is Roku tab? Scroll down, click on the Roku channels, then you'll see a form there. You can submit this form, fill out this form and submit that along with your video, and you'll be seen on their Roku channel. Now, Roku is seen in about 160 countries around the world. They have a viewership of over 80 million active accounts worldwide. And through the works of Trevor and Eileen Build and Otel Music Videos, people can be watching you all over the world. So be sure to watch and add their channel to your Roku menu. Watch and give them a 5-star rating. It's Otel Universe Videos, otelluniverse.com, www.otelluniverse.com. We've got time for one more song with the Doondogs and Nick Brescio here. And one of my favorite TV shows growing up when I was I guess I was probably out of college and a young adult then, Hill Street Blues.
Yeah.
With great music by the ever popular Michael Post, who wrote just every theme song in the history of TV back then. And you guys have a song about Hill Street. Is it based on Hill Street, like Hill Street Blues, or is there?
I wish it was because our producer said the same thing. He thought the song was about the Hill Street Blues, and he said, "Why don't you just call it Hill Street Blues?" Like,
yeah.
And the song's actually about where Bo lives at school. He goes to school out in California.
Oh, okay.
At Cal Poly. And he moved into a house his sophomore year with, Bo likes to have fun, but he spends a lot of time writing, and he does, he has to focus on school and stuff. So he likes his, you know, quaint environment. He grew up on the river, in West Newbury, but all of these roommates that he moved in with were sort of wild. They were always throwing parties at his house and he couldn't really hear or,
yeah.
Every time he walked in the house, there was like 15 people there. So he wrote that him and I wrote this song about it. And basically it's about the shitty living conditions. At
So it's not an uplifting song, you're saying.
Well, it's sort of him adapting to it. The chorus is Hill Street, a whole type of new routine. So he sort of had to just get used to this new environment.
Well, it's tough too, man. I mean, the transition from high school to college, and all of a sudden you're not just in college, you're all the way on the other side of the country in college. you know, right. away from kids, everybody.
All those kids he lives with. I mean, he was the only kid from Massachusetts, I think, that he could find. Like, he tried.
Oh, wow.
And so his whole, everyone, I guess, that goes to school there is from California. It's in state. So,
yeah,
you know, I mean, East Coast and West Coast are very different.
Oh, yeah. Type
of people, I'll just say that.
Oh,
so,
oh yeah.
He was a culture shock for sure. He still has trouble over there. Like, every once in a while, I'll just be like, oh, my God, I can't take these Californians anymore. Bring me back to Boston.
Get me back to Boston. Well, it's a song, Please Come to Boston, right?
Yeah.
You got to call up and sing that to him someday. Well, the song is called Hill Street. It's the last song we listened to, the song by the band Dune Dogs, here on the Music of America podcast. Street with the Dune Dogs, and Nick Brescia has been our guest here. And before we say goodbye, and Nick, you said surfing. I got to ask you this. Have you guys surfed up at Long Beach in York, Maine?
Yes. Yeah. Long Sands. Yeah.
Long Sands.
I got friends up in York, Maine. Yeah.
No kidding. So yeah. One of the biggest kicks I get out of, I love going to York. I go there at least once a year, and we stay literally across the street from Long Sands Beach. And each of the last 3 years we've been up there has been like really crappy weather. Mm-hmm. And I love it because you see you people out there.
Yeah. Yeah.
My niece, nephew, and my niece's son came with us this year. And we went there about 2 months or so ago. And it was probably on a good day, 50 degrees. And all the hurricanes that were down south were giving us the effect up here. So we had really high waves, really high tides. And you surfer people, man, it's like you died and went to heaven. It was incredible. Just watch it. And it's so much fun because you watch somebody at the beginning who's just the one that's just paddling out for the first time and trying to get up on their board for the first time. And right next to them is somebody that's you know, been surfing probably for 20 years, you know?
Right.
And it's so beautiful. So majestic watching that. I can't.
My favorite part is watching them try to get out.
But once you're up and you're off and running, it's gonna be a great feeling.
Oh, fantastic. I wrote an essay. My college essay was actually about comparing the feeling of riding a wave to playing a song on stage live.
No kidding. That's something.
It's funny. Very similar. I mean, it's that like that rush of adrenaline. You just
That's funny because there's a friend of mine since high school, and I still every time I see him, I talk to him about the beauty of a fresh baked pretzel. we were assigned to write it was a creative writing class. We had to write something beautiful, write about something beautiful that nobody else necessarily sees as beautiful, mm-hmm. that I see only as beautiful. So
a pretzel.
Well, mine was where the lyrics of the Simon and Garfunkel music of the Bookends album. And I had to write how that whole thing was beautiful to me. And he worked at a store at the snack bar, and they made fresh baked pretzels. So he wrote a whole paper on the beauty of a fresh baked pretzel. How creative.
That's awesome.
All right. So back to shameless self-promotion. This is the last segment of the show. And before we let you go, tell us about how we find the Dune Dogs, how we find your everything, your music, your merch, your tours, et cetera.
Yeah, so we just released a new album on October 30th. It's self-titled. It's called Dune Dogs. It's on all of the streaming platforms, Spotify, Apple Music. You can find it on our Instagram at Dune Dogs Band or our website, dunedogsband.com, or just search Dune Dogs on Spotify or Instagram, TikTok, anything you got. We got a new drummer. I actually forgot to mention this. We got a new drummer over the summer, and he was the one who toured with us. His name is James Abrams. And we wrote all these new songs with him. Couldn't feel better about it.
Really? That's cool.
Go check it out, everyone. Yeah. So that was what we just put out. He came in with like this new, just matching our level of energy, you know, and he's committed too. So I'm really excited to just keep working with that guy. And, you know,
if you didn't know the Dune Dogs and you're driving down the road and you pop in somebody says, here, check these guys out. And you pop in a Dune Dogs CD. Cause I'm a CD guy here. I still have some CDs. And, where's that going to take you music wise? Where's it going to take you
music wise? Where's that going to take you?
Yeah.
It's going to take you, it's going to feel like you're driving for 15 hours straight, you know, down the East Coast, and it's raining.
Really? Okay.
But in a good way. That feeling when with the fresh air that comes and hits your nose, and, you know, you can't see in front of you, but you're relaxed, you got the bass pumping in your ears. I feel like that's
cool. That's a great description, man. I love that.
At least the new stuff. The old stuff was more, you know, you're at the beach.
I have a girlfriend. I have a girlfriend.
Right. I love her so much. Yeah.
I like the newer stuff.
me too.
Fun. So it's Dune Dogs Band is the link for everything. The Dune Dogs Band is through TikTok, Instagram, Facebook. And then do you guys have a YouTube channel?
Yeah, we have a YouTube channel. Just under Dune Dogs on YouTube.
Okay. Very cool, Nick. Thank you. Nick, our guest here. Hey, thanks for coming on the Dune Dogs. As we kick off Massachusetts, join us tomorrow. We'll be in Boston. We're going to meet Bruce Bears, but it's pronounced Beers, but it's spelled Bears, and it's pronounced both, depending on, well, listen tomorrow. You'll find out. Bruce Bears tomorrow from Boston here on the Music of America podcast. You've been listening to the Music of America podcast. If you like today's show, please go to the website at www.musicofamericapod.com or our Music of America podcast Facebook page. Like us and follow the show and episodes. We tally the votes of all our shows, and the most listened to shows will be rebroadcast on our best of shows at the end of the season. I look forward to having you with us again and listening to the Music of America podcast.